Our gospel reading from Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my son, my beloved, with you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tested by Satan. And he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. And then after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." In the cycle of lectionary readings that help guide our worship, the first Sunday of Lent always begins with Jesus in the wilderness. As I said to the kids, Lent is a season in the church year, 40 days plus 6 Sundays. A time of deepening our spiritual lives, seeking God's presence. It was initially, from what we know in the early church, Lent began as a time of preparation for new believers who were going to be baptized on Easter Sunday. Lent has been modeled from that time after the 40 days Jesus spent in the wilderness. And a reminder, 40 in Hebraic thinking is a number of completeness, of wholeness. It's also the outside limits of a human's body's ability to fast. We connect to the memory, the tell story of the 40 years the Israelites were also in the wilderness, being tested, being formed into God's people, and receiving the revelation of the Torah, the law. In the Hebrew scriptures, over and over again, wilderness is a place where individuals encounter God. I don't know what your experience is with wilderness. How many of you have actually been in a desert? Yeah, a lot of you have. I've spent a little time in desert, like the Judean wilderness. I'm also reminded of a book I read a number of years ago, which you may have heard me say before, but here in the east of the United States, we don't have that kind of wilderness. But this book made the comment that if you define wilderness here as a place that hasn't been touched by humans, we don't have wilderness in the eastern United States. But if you define wilderness as a place where a person alone with a sprained ankle could be in big trouble, we have a lot of wilderness. So wilderness comes in a lot of different forms, not just desert. In Mark's telling, the verb is different than in Matthew and Luke. In Mark's telling, Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness, straight from the waters of baptism, straight from that blessing by God into the wilderness, into a time of spiritual formation and testing and discernment and encounter with God. I asked Margie, because I don't have the copy of this yet, to send me her from this reading from the First Nations New Testament. This is a paraphrase that a Native American Christian theologian has recently created, translating, reframing the New Testament and really using Native American kind of theologies or ways of thinking. And so they frame this, not the temptation in the wilderness in that translation, it's the vision quest. This was Jesus' vision quest in Native thinking. The seeking of God's purpose for his life, seeking directions, figuring out what was he supposed to be doing. It's interesting that Matthew and Luke spell out the temptations in great detail. Mark just says, tempted by Satan and with the wild beast. It's left to our imaginations to fill in the blanks, to imagine what temptations we would face alone, hungry, tired, hot in the daytime, freezing cold at night, because that's the way deserts are, longing for God, seeking God, and feeling every aspect of his very human body in the challenges of that wilderness time. There were, of course, literal wild beasts in the Judean wilderness. At that time, there still would have been lions and bears. And still today, there are leopards, there are lynx and jackals, plus, of course, snakes and lizards and scorpions. Plenty of wild beasts to catch your attention alone out there. And then, of course, there are the emotional, psychological, and spiritual wild beast we all have within us. Some of you have gotten into the Gospel of Thomas, a collection of sayings of Jesus from around the time of the other Gospels were written that got into the Bible. The Gospel of Thomas is one of the ones that did not. But in recently having been discovered in the last few decades, it's believed to be very authentic, very early. Gospel of Thomas, Logion 7. Again, wild beast. Blessed is the lion which the human eats. That lion will become human. Cursed is the human whom the lion eats, and the lion becomes the human. You might want to think on that one. But when I read it, I think it's about the wild beast that can devour us, take us over, control us. The lion eats the human. Or does the human, the best of who we are, control the lion? And the lion becomes human. That's what temptation in the wilderness is about, isn't it? Jesus wrestling with his own inner lion, his own wild beast. So I think as we read this scripture, the question for us is, where are the wildernesses in our lives? Where have you been in one? Are you in one now? Are you in more than one? There are so many ways we can find ourselves in the wilderness. Sometimes it's very personal, physical illness, mental health challenges, struggling with addictions. Sometimes it's relationships, conflicts, and crises. Sometimes it's just feeling stuck in a dry, barren situation that you can't see the way out of. We may feel in the wilderness because of what's going on in the world around us, the brutality of these wars, day after day, death and dying, anger and hatred, the political dysfunctions of governments, the rise of authoritarianism, all the things that can make us worry about our world politically, and then, of course, ecologically. There's a lot of wilderness, desert experience that we can be feeling. All these may be true for you or not. But Lent also raises the question, how might the Spirit be trying to send us into the wilderness, into solitude, in silence, into searching, into looking deeper, or to find new ways to experience and understand God? Only in Mark's gospel do we also get the angels. I never noticed the angels until a few years ago when I read a reflection by a woman named Ruth Burgess. And some of you may have recognized, I've used this before, but every year I come back to it. She writes, "The desert waits, ready for those who come obedient to the Spirit's leading, or who are driven, because they will not come any other way. The desert always waits, ready to let us know who we are, the place of self-discovery. And while we fear, and rightly, the loneliness and the emptiness and harshness, we forget the angels, whom we cannot see for our blindness, but who come when God decides we need their help, and when we are ready for what they can give. Let us have faith and be brave enough to follow Jesus into the wilderness, into the desert, and see what it there is that Spirit is trying to teach us and show us. Can we dare to let ourselves be stripped bare? Let ourselves be and know that we are hungry and thirsty. Let ourselves face those beasts inside of us and around us. And can we be open to the gifts that only the wilderness can bring? The angels, God's messengers that come to us only through in the midst of the wilderness times. That is the invitation of Lent. Let us go forward with faith and courage and openness to see. We stand at the edge of the unknown, and we have a choice: fear or openness and curiosity. The angels are there too.